From KLCC Media, this is the Oregon Grapevine. I'm Barbara Dellenbach. The Oregon Grapevine highlights fresh-pressed conversations with people who are actively and passionately creating the present and future in which they wish to live. Monica Beamer is a co-director of Street Books. It's a street library advocating for, among other things, services for people on the margins. It is located in Portland. Thank you so much for being on the Oregon Grapevine, Monica.
Oh, thank you for having me.
I'd like to start with just a little overview, preview, as it were, of what Street Books is.
Street Books is a street library. We sometimes say mobile street library because we are bringing books out to folks who are on the street or, as you said, living in the margins. And I'll explain more about what that is. And we're doing that on bikes. So we roll around the city and we bring out books, but we also are an outreach project, which means to us that we're bringing folks what they need as well. So in the winter, we're bringing out blankets. In the summer, when it's hot, we're bringing water, whatever folks' stated need is. And we are also building deep relationships with people. We go to the same places each week, so we get to know folks. We're there for 2 or 3 hours. We have 13 different shifts that look like that. So folks come. Often there's new folks who can hang out and talk about books and life, and often there's the same people we see and have deep relationship with. So we get to know people and build relationship and build a community of care where we're listening to what folks say they need, responding to that, just like we want to do in our families and in our neighborhoods. That's what we're doing. And so, you know, it's really important. It changes all of us to just envision a community where we can listen and take care of each other and a community where everyone's basic needs are met. We're obviously far from that, but it's possible, and that's what our vision is. So
I want to get to the other services and the other pieces around it, kind of a mobile library of things, as it were.
Yeah.
But why books as the primary object?
Well, it started off 15 years ago as the person who started it, Laura Moulton, she was going to have it be a summer project, but the demand was so high. And I won't even say the need, right? The need for folks to be able to access books easily because it's so important. So it's such an important thing in most people's lives, not everyone's, but most people's lives. And so nice to have folks come to you, but also the conversations and again, the deep relationships. So it started off that way, but it just never stopped because of the demand. And you know, books, I mean, there's lots of research around what books do for us. They help create imagination. They help us ground ourselves. But, you know, books are just an integral part of many folks' lives. Every single bike and every library, because we also have libraries, stationary libraries in places where people go and live. Every library is curated so that folks will see themselves reflected in the library. So the librarians take care to make sure that there's a wide variety of books. Books in Spanish language, but we'll take requests in any language or take requests for any book. If we don't have it, we'll go get that book. We'll bring it back to the people the next day. So it's, or not the next day, but the next week, whenever we're there next, we'll carry it around with us with their name on it until we see them. And, you know, it's just really about that care and the conversations around books and the nurturing of books. It's just really important.
Do you find that this experience or service or contact and the trading of the books crosses ages?
Oh, yeah. It's all different ages, all different everything. Yeah. So it's, you know, obviously, people who are impacted by houselessness and poverty in our community are folks who are impacted by intersectional oppressions, right? Of other, like a lot of folks with disabilities, a lot of folks, people of color. So I feel like it's our community that we serve. Our library patrons are very, very diverse, and have a lot of ex interest, you know, a lot of experience, life experiences. So yeah, we focus on all sorts, everyone, all sorts of books, literature. But we also ask folks to bring us underrepresented authors when they ask us, because one, they're underrepresented and we want to have a good representation. But again, if we want to, if we want our community to see themselves represented in what we're offering and their lives represented, then LGBTQIA authors and stories are, and writers of color, Black writers, it's really important. So, and that history, and we also more and more are handing out zines, informational things to help folks. We also hand out Rose City Resource Guide to help people know where to go. We also help with making referrals ourselves and helping people access things they need. Of course, there needs to be much more services for folks. That's one of the things that is, especially for getting into housing, and but for everything. And but we are able to share information as a team and with our community partners, which we have about 30 different organizations we work with. So we're able to share information and share opportunities and try and help connect, and we do. We help connect our patrons to the to those resources when they're needed. So
Certainly, the Eugene Public Library, just which is a brick and mortar place with a couple of branches, and I know this is true of Multnomah County and other libraries as well, are turning into much more social service agencies. It's no longer it, they turn into day shelters. They turn into places where other needs are apparent. So it's an interesting and not surprising kind of manifestation of that, that Street Books becomes basically a mobile social service agency, in part by accident, but in part, I know by design.
yeah, we always say we go to where people are, literally. Meet people where they are. So, you know, we roll up places where people are getting another need met, another basic need, like food or pet care. So we, it's just really important to us to be accessible. And that's one of the ways you're accessible. Being houseless in Portland or anywhere else is a full-time job. It's very exhausting. And so, rolling up to where people are, being where people are, offering something that is, yes, we offer survival supplies, but also offering something that's not only about survival is just really important to us.
Absolutely. I mean, just the piece of connection. I'd like to turn to a minute for of kind of the governance of Street Books, because what you're also doing is demonstrating being a co-director. I don't know if different is really the right word, but maybe it's the right word, but certainly a creative and new way of running a community benefit organization. So I'd love you to talk a bit about that evolution.
Yeah, that is fairly new for us. I don't know if it's a new model. There's, you know, it's I've been a co-director three different times in my career, and my career is, you know, more than 30 years old at this point. So I think it's a really nice model because it strengthens, there's a balance of like what we bring, what all of us brings, but also as directors and in that specific role. You know, Josh is in charge of the libraries and the programs, and then I'm in charge of more finance and development stuff, and also just brings different perspectives because we're different humans. And I think it's a really nice model. It's also less isolating. I don't like it when executive directors, especially, complain too much because, you know, we're paid more than everyone else and stuff, but it usually in that model, but it's, it can be isolating, right? And you know, there's, so it's really helpful to have colleagues or a colleague that you can talk to about anything and problem solve, and you know, just be a stronger organization, I think. I mean, of course, there's lots of different models, and you know, Sisters of the Road became a collective when I left. And so there's different things to try out as models, and to live our values. And but I do think that at Street Books, it does really help us to live our values, because both of us have a lot of history with Street Books and a lot of our focus on what we're trying to do to make, like I said, build a community of care and be a model for how you build relationship across a community and be there for each other.
You mentioned Sisters of the Road. I know a little about it. I don't know that our listeners do. I'd love to talk a little about Sisters of the Road and what that organization is and does and your connection to it.
Yeah, Sisters is a really important place. Sisters of the Road. It's a nonprofit organization founded in 1979 in Portland, and it was founded by two people who went out and asked people who were houseless, "What do you need?" And took that information. So just right there is really important, because it's based in what people said that they needed again. It's really strange, but that just doesn't happen a lot, right? We just kind of assume we know what's needed, and we don't ask folks. And they listened, and they built the ca a cafe. And it's a ca it was the cafe is closed right now, but Sisters still exists, doing some really good work around interviews of and research on what kind of housing people want and need, or where, it's just like hopefully informing some policies around where we should be putting our money to get people into housing, not just into shelters. The model was you pay $1.25 for a meal, or you can do barter work, 15 minutes of barter work for a meal. And your first meal is always free, a welcome to Sisters meal. There's always a choice of three entrees, because choice is really important. Always a vegetarian choice. And the food was really delicious and good. Did we have bad days? Sometimes we did, but not very often, which is nice. And I miss the food a lot, because it was so special. And it's really important and nice to have a cafe, because you could sit down and talk to each other and get to know each other. And it's just warm and nurturing. We had a children's area and family tables, and people would just get up and let families be there so the kids could rest and the parents could rest and play. And also that we had a line, although toward the end we did reservations, which was really interesting. You'd come in and get a time slot, which ended up being so brilliant. And then people could go take care of other things until their time slot was up, because again, so busy trying to get your needs met. But families and parents always skipped the line and went to the front of the line as a special hospitality. Female w identified women days, some just not often enough, but a few days where folks could just come and rest in that environment if that was right for them, and get food and care. So it's just but yeah, it was just very special place, changed all of us being there. And we also did work on standing up for people's human rights around houselessness, and which includes, a vision of that everyone should have a safe, affordable house, and what that takes to get there. And again, prioritizing that, helping prioritize that as a community, but also exposing sweeps as a failed policy that has not helped people or communities in any way. Just moves people around, takes their personal stuff, sometimes medication, sometimes items of sentimentality, and so we work to try and get reprioritization, so that we are actually doing things that helped instead of just moving people around in a way that just doesn't do anything and has been proven to be a failed policy, but is still a go-to policy. So, and is cruel as well. So.
Some community benefit organizations do pretty basic information on their web pages. They tell you what they do and they tell you kind of who the people are and they say, here you can contact them. Some go more deeply into values. And the two organizations we've just talked about, their web pages really are an interesting reflection in a different way than some groups of values. And one of the values that's talked about on street books, and I'd love you to expound a little on it, and maybe some other ones as well, is the importance of equity and how that kind of flavors and influences the work you do.
Yeah, it's very important. And we have, for a small organization, definitely, we know always it's a path and we always have more work and more learning to do around equity. And to us, it means making sure that people's basic needs are met and that everyone is cared for. And again, people who are most, when you're doing equity work around, when you're doing systemic change work and equity work around making sure people's basic needs are met, you're also doing racial justice work, you're doing disability rights work, because those folks with those experiences are the most impacted by those oppressions in our society, and often intersectionally, you know, experiencing poverty and houselessness at much, much higher rates. When you look at the numbers, it's just incontroversial. It's just the truth. And so we would focus our, yes, it's, we believe in looking at, well, it's liberation. So we believe looking at ourselves as an organization and always learning and growing and taking care to learn and grow and listen and address harms, address anything we need to. And but also, you know, working on it as a vision for, again, a society where everyone has their basic needs met, we're taking care of each other, we're addressing harm. So it is really important to us. We try and really think about the decisions we make, who do they impact, who's involved. And yeah, we kept it on our website even when you weren't supposed to, because it's really important. And, you know, we're proud to be a part of a growing movement in Portland that really believes that that it's possible that everyone should have a house and a safe, affordable house. And, you know, it's interesting because it, you could feel like everything is terrible, and it is definitely really hard. And also, we don't know what we have stopped, the harms we've stopped by the work we've done, all of us who are doing good work. Like, sometimes we know, but very often we don't get to know what we've stopped. And I think that's really important to remember, because we need to keep our strength and our hearts up and to remember that, like, well, just doing it, whether we stop it or not, is the right thing to do. Stop the harms, any harms. Especially when we're doing it, we could stop it, right? But we need to talk to each other to be able to do that. And not just talk, but take action, obviously. Learn and change. But you know, we don't know what harms we've stopped by just saying no and showing what's possible. And I think it's important to remember that.
Not exactly are you optimistic, but maybe are you optimistic? Are you observing and seeing that more and more groups and people are doing systemic change work and doing stopping harm, or at least attempting to stop harm? Does it feel to you like this movement is getting feet?
Yeah, I do think that there is a lot of, I call it building muscles right now. I do feel like we're building a lot of muscles. I mean, obviously this has been going on for a long time. Like, the work that we did to stop sweeps has been going on for 40 years. So, but I do think that we're building muscles to learn from each other, work together, keep our eye on the prize of a community of care. There will always be people fighting, and hopefully we're just learning how to do that more together and fighting for something, you know, fighting for, like, showing and modeling. I think that's what people love about Sisters and about street books, is modeling what it looks like when you, like, just get to know each other and try as hard as you can to do everything you can to take care of each other and stand up for each other's rights as a being, as a person, right?
Would you just talk a little about your own history and how you've come to where you are?
Well, I grew up in rural Oregon, and I grew up in a small fishing town. And I think that, there's a real sense of community when you're from a town where, like, people are and also a lumber town. Less so, less and less so all the time, but there's a lot of lumber, timber industry when I was growing up. So, where people are working really hard in dangerous jobs, I feel like there's really a sense of community around, listening to each other and the impacts of that on people's lives. As far as there's just a lot of danger involved in both of those. So I grew up. I also grew up going to do things with my family to help in the community. We were privileged to be able to, be able to do different community service. And I would go to nursing homes with my mom when she would like play music. And so I just feel like that just kind of carried over. It's kind of strange to be a person who has made their living mostly in like houseless services, but I feel grateful, and I've always tried to be in environments that radicalized me, and like I was always learning and becoming and having a lens about equity and about justice. So, but still, we're far from a system where everyone just has their basic needs met. And so I'm trained as a social worker, and I know that social workers and social work in general, in the United States and elsewhere, can be very harmful systems where we are meaning to help, but maybe not really helping. And so I try and have that lens of social work, liberation social work, where we're trying to be part of assessing systems and making sure that that we're not doing harm in just the systems where we're trying to help. Most people get into social work for, reasons to help, and then the systems are sometimes harmful. Asking people, not really like addressing the need or changing systems so people aren't just in terrible situations over and over. So there's ways that social workers can be really key in a critical eye towards those systems, toward changing things for the better, mostly by, again, just like really knowing what's going on by listening to folks. And also, so a lot of social workers and more are also living in poverty and trying to just get by in increasingly unaffordable situations in cities. So it's not so much an us and them thing. It's really like about where everything is headed if we don't take care of this massive growing unaffordability and, lack of health care. That's really scary. So I feel like I just have been really grateful to have a lot of people and mentors in my life who helped me to see things and to be in situations where I was able to do work that felt meaningful. We talk about self-care in social work, and I really feel like self-care is being able to work on systems so that they are changing to help all of us, but to help the people that we're are currently being really impacted. And that is self-care, because it means we're not just feeling like we're stuck in a situation that is not helping people. We might be addressing an immediate need. A lot of times we can't because there's not something that's there, and that's horrible. But even if we are addressing an immediate need, a lot of times the current system blames individuals versus looking at what is happening to people and creating these massive things. The great news is if we look at what's happening and those and reach and reprioritize things that, there is enough that people could have basic needs and housing met. So that's the good news.
What inspires you to do this work?
I just feel really grateful to be around so many great people and to be learning all the time. And I would say everyone should have what I have. I live in a 400 square foot house, So, like, let's do this. We can do this. And I think I just feel really grateful to be able to work with so many good people and always learning. And it's hard and it's scary, but it's not as hard and scary as folks who are out there on the street being impacted like daily. So just to use my privilege I do have and still have, maybe not for long, I don't know, but to really not only make things better and to change myself and change society, but also to just work on a vision of how it could be if we just like knew each other and really took care of each other, because it's really possible.
Is there anything we have missed or you think that you would like to add to this conversation before we say goodbye?
Well, I just want to add like how good it feels to do this. Like, I mean, obviously not for everyone, but I think almost for everyone. I don't know how you feel. I'd be interested, but like during COVID, the first thing they said was like, wash your hands, right? And I was like stuck at home and I was like, wash your hands. People don't have hand washing stations who are outside. And sometimes there were even outhouses put up, but without hand washing stations. So my family built, I think we had like 50, 45, I think, in the end, 30-gallon hand washing stations. Several friends actually made the stands because, as you can imagine, 30 gallons of water is really heavy. We got soap, delicious organic soap donated. And then my friends and people around me took care of, adopted one, I would say, and just went out there and got to know people and kept full of water and listened to what was needed and brought other things, hand sanitizer and stuff folks didn't have access to. And people just told me over and over, and I know for myself, like that was really good for my mental health and really helpful and important to do something to do that. And it was, so I just think it's really important to remember that, like, doing that just feels so much better. Like getting out there, sometimes I just hop on my bikes with waters, half frozen waters in the pannier, and like bring them around and just be like, do you need water? And it's like, it's just really, I don't know. Again, that's not doing anything earth changing, but it's connecting and taking care. And it just feels like a really good thing to do with my time.
Thank you so much, Monica Beamer, for the work you do with Street Books and other organizations and just your life energy for helping us all be less on the margins. Really appreciate you being on the Oregon Grapevine. Thank you.
Thank you. Nice to talk with you.
You've been listening to KLCC Media's The Oregon Grapevine, fresh pressed conversations with people who are actively and passionately creating the present and future in which they wish to live.